The apostle spent 3 years with Jesus learning who he was. And so as he's continuing to reveal himself to them and to go beyond anything that they're expecting, he asks them, well, who do people say that I am? And so they know that what they have in front of them is somebody significant, okay? That he's someone special. So John the Baptist had a great reputation at that time. He was definitely recognized as one of God's prophets. And so to say that he was John the Baptist, that was significant. Another, Elijah. We knew Elijah will come back, right, when the Lord returns. And so that's a powerful statement and proclamation of who Jesus might be. And then others said some other prophets. So they knew he had standing, gravitas. And then Peter steps up and says, you are the Christ. We hear this passage so many times, it may not really impact us, but here's the way I imagine it. You know, they're all gathered around, and Jesus is speaking to them, you know, gently bringing them along, and them and the apostles having a real difficult time of understanding and penetrating who he is. And when Peter says, you are the Christ, I just imagine all of the apostles gasping. You know, it's like, it's not just that this person's, you know, a great man, but like he's at a whole nother level, different species. You are the Christ. And so it's almost like a proclamation leading to awe and wonder, right? And so as soon as Peter proclaims this, the apostles go make it and take it to another level as far as their apprehension and comprehension of who the person of Jesus is. So he's bringing them along. Now, Peter gets an A+ on the first part, then he flunks the second part of the test. And Jesus begins to explain to them how he's going to be a savior. And it's going to be through suffering, the suffering servant, right? He's going to be taken up, imprisoned, crucified, and he's going to die. And then he's going to rise on the third day. And this is incomprehensible to Peter. And so Peter takes Jesus to the side and rebukes him. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. The word Satan, as I mentioned at the beginning of Mass, literally means one who leads another astray, a tempter. And so he's not equating Peter with Satan. He's equating Peter with Satan's works, right? One who leads off the path. And so Jesus' mission, we know clearly, is to do the will of the Father. And he is the Christ. He is the anointed one. But how is he going to carry this out? Through a way that's not very tasteful and attractive. In the Gospel of Mark equates being a disciple with being a follower, of being a follower of Jesus. So the first apostles that were called, okay, to be disciples, Jesus says to them, come follow me. So discipleship is really equated with following Jesus. So once we start with this kind of sense of awe in the presence of Christ, that he's the anointed one, he's more than a man, he is God, then we look to follow, you know, becoming one of his disciples. And how do we become one of his disciples? What's beautiful about Jesus is he makes it so simple, right? The gospel message is always simple. We can take it home and just chew on it all week. You know, three things. He says what? Deny oneself, take up your cross, and follow me. So three things to being a disciple. And for us, what he wants the apostles to do is to reflect and consider, what's that mean? What does it mean to deny yourself? What does it mean to take up your cross? What does it mean to follow me? For us, each of us personally, individually, I don't know what your experience is, but mine, as far as like working with high schoolers and programs for high schoolers and in the workplace and in college, there's all these programs about being a good leader, right? How do you become a good leader? I've never seen a program set up how to be a good follower. But that's what totally what Christianity is. We were made to be followers. That's what a disciple is, a follower of Jesus. Well, what does that look like to be a follower of Jesus? The first thing to being a follower of Jesus is this awareness and appreciation, beginning to appreciate that he is the Christ. Gasp. Oh, whoa. And then the second is to begin what? Is a denial of oneself. And what are we denying ourselves of? I think you just look, all you have to do is look to the capital sins, right? Those are the ways that we are being Satanized, that Satan is working, that we are being tempted to get off the right track. And all of the capital sins are invitations and temptations to follow another path. Pride is basically to follow oneself, right? Vanity is to follow the approval and the recognition that others give. Lust and gluttony are to follow the pleasures. So you can connect all of the capital sins with following a particular master. We cannot get away from the reality that we are followers. We'll be, no matter what we think, we're following something. And maybe it's ourselves, which would be ultimately would be pride. So the first thing that we do is we have to deny ourselves. Is it that easy then? No, because whenever we deny ourselves, so and we're being tempted in a particular way through vanity or pride or lust or gluttony or avarice, greed, sloth. Whenever we're being tempted and we have to deny ourselves, there's always going to be a cross. There's always going to be a suffering that's associated with it. So we're called to what? Embrace our cross. And then it is in embracing our cross that we follow Jesus. It's the three-step plan, right, to being a disciple. Denying oneself, taking up one's cross, and following me. The only other thing I think that we have to keep in mind, and we receive a really good counsel from the first reading from Isaiah. Isaiah says that this suffering servant, this who's going to be Christ, right? This suffering servant set his face like flint. What kind of rock is flint? It is a hard rock, right? And someone who sets their face like flint towards, like Jesus did towards Jerusalem, that means he's not going to be denied whatsoever. That's the kind of resolution that we need to have, firmness that we need to have in being a disciple, in denying ourselves, in taking up our cross, and following Jesus. I've shared with you before St. Teresa of Avila's key to success in the spiritual life. She names three things, but the first is a muy determinada determinación. That's very superlative in Spanish. A very determined determination. So it's not a matter of just like, okay, I got to deny myself, take up my cross, follow Jesus. There has to be incredible resolve and resolution. Setting our faces like flint to be disciples of Jesus. And my friends, what the Holy Spirit does is constantly keep drawing us in and leading us and strengthening us so that we have that kind of resolve. Because it's not easy to deny oneself. It's not easy to take up one's cross. It's not easy to be a follower of Jesus. But it is, as they say in Spanish, vale la pena, definitely worth it.